Are you running on empty?
Are you running on empty?
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin. And we're the Computer Guys here from Mechatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and other technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev, we are. We invite you to call in here. Number is 395-1450.
Or computerguys@whtc.com. That's our email right here in the studio. So if you're at your computer or you just want to send us an email, go ahead and do so. We'll try and get to it on the show. We are here to talk about all things computer, all things technology.
Mostly. We get off topic a little bit.
That's sometimes. Right. Sometimes we talk about lawn care, but not as much as like Jerry Baker. Let's see, what else have we talked about? Well, you know, usually we do some counseling for Josh, too, with his computer woes.
So, a little bit.
Yeah.
He's in denial.
In denial. He's always in denial.
That Apple, he just thinks that Apple is a far superior product.
I know. Obviously, he didn't read the news and read about the unpatched Mac flaw. That might put users at risk.
What was that, Kev?
Well, see, I don't know. He's standing right there. Maybe I shouldn't tell him. Oh, he's looking upset. He doesn't know about this flaw.
Uh-oh.
Well, hang on. I'm gonna pull it up, and we can read you about this Mac flaw. It's an OS 10 flaw.
That's the newest operating system.
Yep, that's right. They're up to 10.4 now. This page isn't loading. It's probably a Mac server.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, probably, huh?
Well, it
might load eventually, so I'll come back to it.
Maybe it was overloaded by everybody going to it.
That could be. Everybody wants to know what's going on. We haven't had a huge news week. There hasn't been anything major that's happened this week. So there isn't a ton of that. This is kind of interesting. Here it is. Is investigating several unpatched and potentially serious security flaws in Mac OS X that have been publicly disclosed, the company said Friday. The most serious set of flaws that could let attackers surreptitiously run malicious code on users' PC. In an interview, Tom Ferris, a security researcher. Basically, they're in the process of investigating and addressing these. Five of the flaws identified relate to how Mac handles various image file formats, including the bitmap, TIFF, and GIF, according to security advisors. Another flaw involves the way OS X decompresses zip archives. And they found some security bugs, in Apple's Safari browser. So the image flaws are the scariest ones, giving an attacker multiple methods of compromising a host. So, yeah, these are floating around, and they're just image files. So that is kind of a big deal.
So that's on the Apple.
Yeah, this is any Apple running OS X. So they haven't released any patches yet, but they are going to address them in an upcoming security update.
And this next one here, Kev, is also related to Apple.
Oh, man, look at this.
Battle brewing over the iTunes prices.
Oh.
For many people, it's a simple thing. You buy a single online, pay 99 cents each. But these days, the recording industry is pressing for a change to the one-price-fits-all model that iTunes and other sites have been offering. Some labels have been trying to get iTunes to charge more for certain singles, putting music lovers to the test over whether they'd be willing to pay more for some tunes. Many downloaders are just getting used to the idea of paying for them at all, rather than getting them for free on pirate sites. During the 3 years iTunes has been in existence, the major labels have been able to gain revenue that have helped them cushion a 5-year drop in CD sales. Last year, 350 million digital tracks were sold in the U.S.
Wow, that's a lot. That's incredible. 350 million at 99 cents a song right there.
But they want to raise the prices.
I don't think they should. It's ridiculous.
I've never bought a digital MP3.
I bought one.
What was it?
I bought it on Walmart for 88 cents.
Did you really?
Don't tell anybody.
What song was it?
I can't even remember the name of it.
No,
I seriously can't. It was a song. Jen and I were watching this thing on PBS. I think the show was called like Celtic Women or something like that. And it had these four different women that were doing all these kind of traditional Celtic songs. And they did this really great song. And so we wanted to go get it. So
how did you find out what it was?
I looked up the Celtic, and there's a whole Celtic Women soundtrack.
Oh,
and so
okay.
Then I looked on the soundtrack, and then we just bought the song. So that's kind of cool.
This
great,
is just
though.
One of Kevin's covers, because he probably bought another boy band CD to add to his collection.
Yeah, he did.
Boy band. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
That's the last
it's
one was
Cam
boy zone.
That's got problems with that. Not me. I have no reason to buy any boy band music. So, yeah.
Give us a call, 395-1450. The phone lines are open here. Give us a call, 395-1450.
Or send us an email, computerguys@whtc.com. We'll check that. If anything comes in, we'll get to it on the show.
Kevin, this is an email from, what was this? This must have been a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
We didn't have a chance to get to. And so they said, at the beginning of the program, you talked about turning off the computer when not in use. What about turning off the little black box for DSL that SBC gives you? What happens when this is turned off? Does mail still go through?
Nothing goes through.
Well,
not to your computer.
It'll still, computer.
No, yeah, it won't go through to your computer. It still hangs out on their mail server, so you don't have to worry about that. You will still get your email next time you get online. But I would recommend leaving that on. Leaving both that on and also your router, if you have a router, if you have more than one computer connected. The reason for the router is if you have any settings in there and you unplug it, if you wait more than about 5 or 10 minutes, it'll lose those settings, and it'll have to be reprogrammed. The modem won't lose the settings if you turn it off. But generally leave it on. If you have seen one of those modems, the DSL modems, it says leave it on for at least 10 days while they optimize the connection. You know, at first I thought that was a bunch of garbage, but it actually works. I've seen it before where I've set up DSL for someone, and it was really slow to begin with, waited 7 to 10 days, and it was up to normal speed.
What?
It's true. I've seen it before. I've done speed tests on it. It actually works. So I would recommend leaving that thing on because...
That seems like monkey business.
Dave, I know it seems crazy, but it's true. It is definitely true. It does help. So, yeah. Leave the box on. They hardly use any electricity at all. And you might have some issues with connectivity when you do turn it back on. Something may not be set right. So just leave them on.
So leave the DSL box on.
Leave DSL modem. Also leave your router on.
Or if you have a cable modem, leave that on.
Leave a cable modem on.
Make sure it doesn't go into standby.
That's right. There's a button on it sometimes, depending on the modem, that says standby. If you can't get on the internet, just make sure that button's not pressed. I've had a couple instances of that before. So,
well, there you go.
Yes. There's the antitrust, another Microsoft antitrust lawsuit going on. Bad news. If you bought a computer that already had Microsoft Windows pre-installed on the hard drive, Federal Appeal Court says those who bought pre-installed versions of Windows can't sue for antitrust violations. Three-judge panel ruled unanimously that such businesses and consumers who bought pre-installed versions of Windows can't sue the software giant because they didn't buy the operating system from Microsoft itself. That ruling backs up ones made in 2001 and 2004 by a federal court in Baltimore. The plaintiffs in the suit are now being considered were seeking as much as $10 billion in damages.
Whatever.
So we'll see if anything happens with that. But if your computer came with Windows already on it, you cannot get any money from that.
Everybody likes to sue Microsoft again.
That's true. Easy target.
All right, let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning, Dorothy. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, I was just wondering, why does my printer always print two pictures? I get a lot of pictures from the grandkids and the great-grandkids, and every time I print... It's on an 8x11.
Okay.
I get two pictures of the same picture.
Is it with everything? If pictures,
yeah,
emails?
Every time I print, I get the same picture twice.
What about if you print out something else, like a Microsoft Word document?
Oh, if I just print out something, you know, you mean to read or anything?
Yep, anything else.
No, that's all single.
Just the picture?
Oh, the pictures are always twice.
And so it prints one page, and then it feeds another one through and prints
nope,
it on there?
No, nope. The two pictures are on one page. I get, it prints the same, say I get a little granddaughter.
Okay.
The same 8x11, one page, I get two prints. It always prints it twice on the same page.
So they're side by side then?
Yeah, mm-hmm, right.
And what do you usually use to look at your pictures? You know the name of the program?
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
Like when you open up a picture to look at it, do you know what program it opens to look at that picture?
Or tell us this once. Do you know what operating system do you have? Is it Windows XP, Windows 98?
Oh, XP.
Windows XP. Okay, it's probably the Microsoft Picture and Fax Viewer then.
It's something in your printing options.
Because
if you're using any kind of a photo software, it gives you an option to choose more than one print per page, or you know, if you're printing like 4x6 prints, it can fit two of them on a page.
I see.
And so it will do that probably by default.
Okay.
So what you could do is when you go to print, instead of hitting the print button,
yes,
go up to the file menu and then down to print. And it will bring up a menu there. And from there, you can specify it's going to be like preferences or properties.
Okay.
And depending on the type of printer you have, there will be an option for specifying how many prints and how you want them laid out.
Okay. I just never did that. I just went, you know, when they...
Yep.
I just pulled up the picture and printed it.
Yep. So go to file print. And then... Yep, and then that'll bring up a little menu.
Well, there is no file print in this picture viewer, though, Kev.
I don't think it's picture viewer. I think it's some other program.
Okay.
But yeah, go to file print, and then go to preferences or properties for your printer. It'll be in that window that pops up. And in that menu, there will be an option to choose how many prints and how you want them laid out.
Okay, then there will be... options, and then I can choose.
Yep, and just go through all those options till you find the one you're looking for.
Okay.
It's going to be a little bit difficult, though.
You were talking just a few minutes ago about, yesterday in the mail, I got this thing from Epson ink cartridges, and something about legal settlements from a class action law from Epson.
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about? It's a lawsuit about, it was filed in California and based on various legal theories, including breach of contract and so on. And then it talks about if you have an Epson from between 1999 and 2006.
And did you buy one during that time?
Yeah, I did.
You did, okay.
I don't have any problems with it at all. And it even gives you a form to fill out to make a claim to get a $45 refund.
Hmm.
I don't really think I want to get involved in that. Would you?
No, I know what you're... I just looked it up. It says that basically the printers would prematurely say that their inkjet cartridges were empty even though they weren't.
Okay.
So if that's the issue. So if you've had that before where it says your cartridge is empty... but really there's more ink in there. There's a $45 settlement towards purchase of products at Epson's website.
Okay, but I have not had that problem.
Then you probably don't even want to bother with it.
I didn't think so.
It's going to be a lot of monkey business for a very, very little return.
Right, that's what I thought too. Okay, thanks. You answer that too then.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye.
Oh, Josh is waving his hands like crazy here.
Well, no, I was just going to say something. If she's printing pictures, you know, from somewhere, wouldn't she could be printing it from her email program itself if they're attachments, couldn't she?
No, because if she opens the attachment, most likely it'll launch whatever the default image viewer is.
Oh, okay. I'm probably just thinking of some web-based email thing.
Yeah.
And then that definitely wouldn't print two of them because that's web-based. That'd be just printing what's on the page.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, never mind.
So...
don't mind me.
This is kind of an interesting bit of news here. Dave, can you imagine? Now, you've got the TiVo-ish thing, whatever it's called. I don't know.
DVR.
DVR. I don't know if yours had a certain name or something like that.
DVR.
But can you imagine being forced to watch the ads on your favorite TV show? Being forced. So there was nothing you could do. You had to watch them. People at Royal Philips Electronics...
I cancel my TV.
...not only can imagine that, they've created a device that does just that. It has applied for a patent for a technology that could let broadcasters freeze a channel during a commercial so you can't go channel surfing while the ads run. Can you believe this?
No, that's
patent
terrible.
Pending with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office says the feature would be implemented on a show-by-show basis. Even Philips acknowledges that the anti-channel changing feature... won't cite well with customers. It's also in its filing for the patent, the company says customers would be allowed to avoid the feature if they paid broadcasters a fee. That is terrible.
I like how they call that a feature.
Yeah, what kind of feature is that? Hey, you got to watch these crappy commercials.
That's dumb.
That's terrible. Ugh, this will never work. There's no way. People won't let this happen. Now, granted, commercials, I would say, on the whole, have been better. At least if you're watching during, you know, primetime hours. I'm actually getting some enjoyment out of these commercials because they're pretty funny. So that I wouldn't mind. But when it's a dumb commercial that loops over and over every time they run commercials, it'd be so frustrating. So if this comes your way, vote against it.
All right.
That's what I say.
You know, we haven't had as many problems with spyware or adware these days like we used to.
We're fighting a good fight. We're winning.
Well,
uh-oh.
Sort of. Well, I was just going to say, you know how we used to tell a lot of people that they needed to install the program Microsoft Anti-Spyware?
Yeah.
Well, that is no more. Now, if you have that installed on your computer, it'll still work. But I don't think it updates itself anymore, right?
No, they're probably not releasing definitions for it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it updates anymore. So if you want to continue to use the free Microsoft anti-spyware, you have to get the new one called Windows Defender. And that is also free right now. I don't even know the easy address to go to. But it's at Microsoft.com if you want to get the latest version. Unfortunately, it doesn't offer the greatest protection just yet.
No, it's not. They're working on it. It's okay.
If you want something free that does an okay job, it might work for you a little bit.
It's better than having a big stick to beat the spyware away. Definitely works better than that.
That's what you use.
Yeah. It works for me. I just fight it off manually. But it's out there, and Microsoft is launching into the security realm, which I think is probably a bad idea, but they're doing it anyways. So
okay, Microsoft.com/defender.
Yeah, and then they want it. Basically, it's there. It also supposedly monitors your patches for Windows updates, and it also monitors the status of your antivirus, if it can detect it. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to tie all this stuff together, and whether it works as it should or not is still to be determined.
Yeah, Microsoft anti-spyware, it did the same thing. It was an okay job. I mean, it didn't monitor patches and updates.
Well,
like
see,
that,
the difference is it, you know, Microsoft didn't make that program, so it was actually decent. Now, did Microsoft make Defender?
I figured that they probably took in some of the same technology.
I would hope so.
Because all that they did before...
They just rebadged it.
Yeah, well, all they did before was buy some crummy anti-spyware company.
Which actually made a decent product. You know, it was not bad. And the company was Giant, I believe. So,
well, but I mean, even then, when it first came out, it wasn't that great.
No. It had a run where about 2 months it was doing a pretty good job, and then it kind of faded off.
Yeah, it did. I think that was about the time when we were telling everybody to install it.
And it was working great, and then it just kind of petered out. So
yeah.
I think they kind of stopped pushing it.
Well, that's why it's in the beta version.
Yeah, speaking of Microsoft security, there's that patch that came out. Oh, I think it was probably this week or late last week in your series of Windows updates, which may have caused your computer to stop responding correctly. Symptoms would be if you're in Microsoft Word or another Microsoft program and you go to save something and your whole computer locks up. Or if you want to type an address in your Internet Explorer address bar and you go to type something and nothing happens. Or Internet Explorer crashes. Or if you're using the Windows Explorer interface anywhere and it just hangs up your whole computer. If you've had any one of those symptoms, and you also have an HP printer or a scanner or an all-in-one device, there's a patch that was released that kind of caused your system to crash. And the problem is there's two main programs that it conflicts with. One is a sort of a Sunbelt software Curio personal firewall. Not that common. But the other one is the Hewlett-Packard Share to Web software or even an older NVIDIA graphics driver. Any one of those will cause this update to conflict with your system in such a way that it'll start hanging. So if that's happened to you, you can thank Microsoft, and they're working on a patch for Tuesday to correct that problem.
All right, so Kev, we got an email here from one of our listeners. It's
sure.
a Ziggy cartoon, and Ziggy's sitting in front of his computer, and it says, "This page cannot load because your computer is cheap and crummy."
That's right.
Well, we've seen some of those computers, haven't we?
That's true. Sometimes you do. An older computer can't even display web pages correctly. And it's time to get a new one.
Yep. Although, I mean, it's just for websites. It's not such a big problem.
No. Depends on what you use it for. But yeah, that's that patch that came out. We've seen a handful of computers that has affected. So there's a fix out there, and the problem is it's not one fix fits all. Until they release this patch, when they release the patch to correct the first patch, things should work correctly. But until then, there's a couple different ways of fixing it, and it's kind of hard to recommend something. So that is something. HP has also recalled thousands of laptop batteries in this past week. So if you're interested in that, you can go to the HP website. And they have some information on the battery recall. But they were made in China, used in several HP Pavilion and Compact Presario notebooks. So check that out if you're concerned with it.
All right, Kev, we have a caller on the line here. Good morning, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Good morning. Say, I have a computer. It's an older computer that I want to donate. I don't need it anymore. Works good, but there's bank account numbers and things like that that I'm sure are stored on that computer. IRA numbers, private credit card numbers, and I'm wondering how I go about getting rid of that before I donate it.
Well, there are some places, if you donate it to them, they will go through and perform a secure hard drive wipe for you. For instance, if it's a Pentium 3 or newer, Macatawa Freenet or the Macatawa Care Program, which is on, 19th and Columbia, Kev?
Mm-hmm.
They will perform a secure hard drive wipe for you. But places like Goodwill will not.
Okay.
So, did you have somebody in mind that?
What's that?
Can I trust that those numbers will...
If they say they will do it, you can trust that. If you're worried about it, basically, deletion is not really enough. You do need to run a wiping utility where basically it wipes your entire hard drive to a certain standard. There's a Department of Defense standard for that, and that gives you the confidence that your files really are truly gone. So you want to make sure that happens. So if you're donating it to a place where you're unsure of that, we do offer that service, and there may be other places that do that, but you do want to make sure that it does get done if you have those numbers in there.
And that involves pulling the hard drive out of the computer, putting it into another one, and running a special program. Because with a hard drive, you actually have to overwrite it. Like you said, Kev, you can't just delete it. You have to actually have that overwritten. So
check with the place where you're considering donate it and find out if they do a secure wipe. Yep, and if not, go someplace and have it done before you donate it.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, if you don't get that done, you'll probably end up on some 2020 in 2 years about,
right.
You know.
I donated my computer, and I thought it was going to be, to a good organization.
Or it'll be on 60 Minutes. Andy Rooney will complain about he bought a computer, and your credit card numbers were on there.
That's right. So you do want to get that done. And unfortunately, yeah, there might be some freeware out there that'll do this secure wipe. But, yeah, you want to make sure without a doubt that it is the DoD-certified secure wipe stuff. So you can see if you can find something on the Internet. Otherwise, you just want to make sure that it's done. So
Kev, digital cameras, if you can believe this, are actually starting to win out. They're among the biggest and best known in photography. And these days, companies like Minolta, Fuji, and Nikon have something special in common. They're phasing themselves out of the film-based camera business. They're among companies that have announced they are either getting out of the film business or radically cutting it back. So
I can see cutting it back, but getting out of it makes me sad.
Yeah, well, there's still a fair number of people who use film cameras and probably will for a while.
I still think that the image quality is superior in a film camera. But that's just my personal opinion.
Real, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, Dean. You're on with the computer guys.
Good morning. I've got a Dell Latitude computer with a Canon i860 printer. The printer kind of prints what it wants to, and some stuff it won't.
Okay.
Especially with Excel spreadsheets. It prints the borders, but it won't print the numbers or the text that's inside. I've reloaded that system. I've looked at the operating system. I've redone that, and I don't know if there's any ideas.
Have you tried getting the newest driver for that printer from the manufacturer's website?
No, I've not.
You might want to try and do that, because if your driver's out of date, it may not be able to handle what you're trying to print. So if it's a buggy driver, if for some reason the driver that it shipped with has a little problem with it, that it's just not compatible with a certain piece of software, the best thing to do is to go to Canon's web. It is Canon, correct?
It is, yes.
Okay, go to their website and into the download section, search for the newest printer for your operating system for that printer, or the newest driver, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And try that out. I'm guessing that's going to take care of your problem.
All right.
Okay?
Hey, thanks for the help.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Anytime you're having issues printing and it's an intermittent thing, you always want to try and get that new driver, because printer drivers, they're not perfect. Companies release them and they have bugs in, and then they have to re-release them, and sometimes they do it four or five times before it's fully fixed. So,
and sometimes Microsoft releases an upgrade
something
that,
up
that breaks it.
Yep. So that's definitely a good thing to do.
So, okay, we're just about out of time here. We've got about 5 seconds till the music starts.
5 seconds. What, so you want me to say something in 5 seconds?
You're out of time now.
Oh, shoot, it's gone.
Well, you've done it again. Another hour, half hour has been spent listening to the computer guys here.
Hopefully well spent. And if we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. Our office number is 394-4940. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 833 Maple Avenue. That's the corner of 34th and Maple.
That's right. Thanks to all our callers, and thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back next Saturday for another exciting show of the Computer Guys. Till then, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of the Holland Area's News and Information Station, 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.